know, before I get to what I have for notes, did we all get the same bulletin today? Do we have this? Do we all have this one? It says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Sometimes there's different bulletins. We're kind of using up what we've had in stock, but I want to read what's on the back of this. It's a good story. So on the back of the bulletin, if you have that one, otherwise just listen. And the title is, "My God Shall Supply All Your Need," Philippians 4:19. During the Great Depression of the 1930s, a hardworking carpenter received a special commission. His church needed crates in which to ship clothing to an orphanage in China. The day the final crate was packed, he nailed it shut and headed home. As he was nearing home, he reached for his glasses in his shirt pocket and was dismayed to realize they had slipped from his pocket and were most likely on their way to China already. He had spent $20 on his new glasses that very morning, and with a wife and six children to care for, he could ill afford another pair during the difficult economy. Months later, the orphanage director, while on furlough in the United States, spoke at a little church in Chicago where the carpenter was attending. He began by thanking the people for their faithfulness in supporting the orphanage. But most of all, he continued, "I must thank you for the glasses you sent last year. You see, the communists had just swept through the orphanages, destroying everything, including my glasses, and I was desperate. There was no way to replace the glasses, and along with not being able to see well, I had headaches every day, and my co-workers and I were much in prayer about this. Then your crates arrived, and then we removed the last lid. We found the glasses. Folks, when I tried them on, it was as if though they had been custom made just for me. I want to thank you for being a part of that." The people listened, happy for the miraculous glasses, but sure, the missionary had them confused with another church, because there were no glasses on their shipping lists. But sitting quietly in the back was an ordinary carpenter, realizing the master carpenter had used him in an extraordinary way. In Romans 8:28, "For we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." That was, I think I've seen that story somewhere before, but it's a good reminder that sometimes we're being used and we may not even realize it. Anyway, this morning we're going to look at Ephesians 4. I'm adding a couple of verses to the text, Ephesians 4, 20 to 32. But first I want to read a story about Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker both had churches in London in the 19th century. On one occasion, Parker commented on the poor condition of children admitted to Spurgeon's orphanage. It was reported to Spurgeon, however, that Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. Now, when we share stories with one another, let's make sure we share them accurately. Evidently, Spurgeon got the idea that Parker was criticizing the orphanage for poor condition, but he was just commenting on the condition of the children that were admitted. So anyway, so Spurgeon got that story and he got the wrong impression from it, and he blasted Parker the next week from the pulpit. The attack was printed in the newspapers and became the talk of the town. People flocked to Parker's church the next Sunday to hear his rebuttal. I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today. This is Reverend Parker speaking. And this is the Sunday they use to take an offering for the orphanage. I suggest we take a love offering here instead. The crowd was delighted. The ushers had to empty the collection plates three times. Later that week, there was a knock at Parker's study. It was Spurgeon. "You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. You have given me not what I deserved. You have given me what I needed." And do we treat each other? No, Spurgeon thought he had been disparaged, and then he, in return, disparaged Parker, And Parker had a real spirit of forgiveness and mercy. So now let's go to the scripture, Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 32. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what it says to us. And Lord, may we take the scriptures we read to heart, Lord, and to acknowledge that the words we read and study are true. And we just pray that as we look at this passage and some others, Lord, that you will speak to us through it, speak to me through it, Lord. And I just thank you most of all for your gift of grace and for the gift forgiveness that you have imparted to us through your grace and mercy, Lord. And we're just so thankful for everything that has been done on our behalf and is continuing to be done. And I just thank you again in your name. Amen. Mark 8:35 says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Now, you know, that seems to be kind of a oxymoron. Who would think that in order to save our lives that we need to lose it? And of course, we're talking about our hopes and desires. We need to lose the selfishness in our lives and replace it with God's plan for our lives, and to live for him, knowing that we will be rewarded for all eternity. There's a story about a peculiar fisherman from Minnesota. You see, this fisherman was very well prepared. He knew how to fish. He had everything you need to be a good fisherman. He had poles, nets, bait, and even a really nice boat. But this fisherman had a problem. For all his preparation, he had never caught anything. Not one fish. Not one, not ever. You know why he never caught a fish? What do you think? The answer is he never went fishing. He was afraid to go out on the water. His fear, he had invested in something that he had interest in and that he would have liked to pursue, but he was fearful. He had all the knowledge and all the equipment, but he never got into the boat. He never left the dock. And in our spiritual lives, we are equipped with everything we need. We've been given gifts to share with one another. But sometimes we're fearful. Sometimes we don't want to get into the boat. Sometimes we don't want to take that chance that we may be persecuted or ridiculed. We need to die to that fear and live for God. when we die to self, we give up things, but we gain things. And I've got a list of things here. We're called to give up anger, but we're to embrace patience. Give up resentment. Sometimes we can't let go of grudges easily, and oftentimes a grudge is held, and we don't address it. But we are called to give up that resentment and to forgive, and remembering how we have been forgiven. We are to give up pettiness and grow in maturity. Give up bitterness, and there again, the resentment, the bitterness. Resentment can lead to bitterness. And again, it says we are to forgive one another as we have been forgiven. Give up jealousy. Sometimes we're a little bit envious of maybe a talent somebody else has, or maybe a possession somebody has. But we're supposed to give that up and learn to accept what we have been given. There may be some that are jealous of what you have, even though you're jealous of maybe that same person for something else. Give up complaining. Oh, it's so easy to complain, isn't it? Oh, boy. Gail knows I complain. Yeah, Gail complains too. Brett complains a lot. But when we complain, when we have that feeling of complaining, we're supposed to give that up and focus on the good things we have and be great and be grateful. And this is a tough one. This is hard. I mean, all these things are hard. And in our human existence here, we are not going to conquer all of these things, but we need to work towards that. Give up gossiping and speak of one another. For speaking of one another, speak kindly. And as we looked at in that example from Parker and Spurgeon, you know, the gossiping, the spreading of stories, after a few tellings, you can't hardly recognize it from what the truth may have been to begin with. But we're supposed to speak of others in righteousness, truth, and love. Give up pessimism and become one who thinks positive. Well, that's not always easy to do, but we are commanded to look toward the good things. And give up hypocritical judgments of people, and think respectfully as we think about others around us. Give up gloom. There's so many things going on in our world today that is just gloom and doom all over the place. But we're to look, give that up, and look for the beauty and blessing in the things around us. Give up discouragement. It's easy to become discouraged. You know, we'd like to see more growth in our lives. We'd like to see more people in the pews. And it's easy to be discouraged about not only that, but other things in our lives. Things just don't turn out the way we expected or hoped. But instead of being discouraged, we should praise God for the encouragement that we have through Christ and through one another. Even though we're a small group, we can encourage one another. Give up worry. Oh, it's hard not to worry. You know, I worry about this moment in time every Saturday night when I go to bed. It's like, man, do I have this together? And only you know if I do or not. But it's easy to worry about things. We worry about things we have no control over. We're told to be anxious for nothing. And we need to trust God that our needs will be met as we serve Him. Give up hatred. You know, we're commanded not to hate the person, hate the sin. We are to hate sin. But dwell on on what Christ commands us to do as far as dealing with others. And give up rights. You know, it's so easy to say, well, I had a right to do that. We think of ourselves as having certain rights, which, you know, our Constitution and the laws we are given give us certain rights in our human authorities. Our authorities have given us certain rights. But did Christ stick up for his own rights? He did not. He relinquished everything. He had the right to. He was God in bodily form. He had the right to call himself God. He had the right to be ruler of all, but he relinquished all of that as he was persecuted and eventually crucified. And he had an attitude of a servant. You know, if we look out for the rights, or the rights, I don't know, if we look out for the benefit of others, that would come back to us. I mean, we're not supposed to act kindly just so they'll act kindly to us, but that is a result often. Give up our burdens. Oh my, we have burdens. We have things that we feel like we cannot bear. And the scripture tells us to cast all our cares, our burdens upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for us. Give up offense. How easily we become offended by sometimes the littlest things. I know it happens in my life. I'm assuming it happens in everyone's lives. But the scripture tells us to give that up and to realize that we are blessed. It says, blessed when men revile and persecute you. Give up excuses. Die to self. Give up the excuses we make for not doing certain things or for excusing ourselves from following Christ. And scripture tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Andrew Murray has said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. And I've got a couple of more illustrations we're going to hit here and another scripture to read. A person named Bruce Larson, in a article he wrote called Believe and Belong, for many years, and this is talking about burdens and about for many years I worked in New York City and counseled at my office any number of people who were wrestling with a yes or no decision as far as following Christ and giving our burdens to him. Often I would suggest they walk with me from my office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. In the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas, a beautifully proportioned man who, with all his muscles straining, is holding the world upon his shoulders. There he is, the most powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under his burden. Now that's one way to live, I would point out to my companion, trying to carry the world on your shoulders. But now come across the street with me. On the other side of Fifth Avenue is St. Patrick's Cathedral, and there behind the high altar is a little shrine of the boy Jesus, perhaps 8 or 9 years old. And with no effort, he is holding the world in one hand. The point was illustrated graphically. We have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world. And to me, that is the whole world. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10, Paul writes, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. It's the this shows us the importance of not letting the cares of this world overwhelm us. It you know, verse 10 says, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, we may be poor but yet we make others rich by sharing our faith with them. And on this earth we may have nothing. It says, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I'm going to close with this illustration. Now, Brett knows all about these things. Does anyone know what that part in the middle of the washer is called? The part in the middle that moves back and forth and shakes the clothes. The agitator. What is the purpose of that thing? To agitate. Have you ever watched it? Brett's watched this. He's videotaped this. We know all about what that thing does. And as far as I can tell, its sole purpose is to cause havoc for the dirty clothes. It's there to shake and separate the clothes from all the dirt and grime and money. I got a hunch. Brett washed one of my jackets yesterday, and I think there were 3 shotgun shells in the pocket. So I'm guessing those are no good anymore. So it agitated those to death, I'm sure. But it's there to get the dirt and the grime off the clothes and get rid of anything that may be in the pockets. As soon as we are saved, the Holy Spirit moves into our hearts, but he doesn't have our heart to himself. You know, when we become Christians, you know, we say or we strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's other stuff there. There's a lot of things there. And the big one is our own selfish desires and pride. And even though we have been saved from our past sins, there still remain some things of the world that we are still fond of. We all have our interests, and we got to make sure that those interests don't get in the way of his place in our hearts. These things of the world have a way of attaching themselves to us like dirt on clothes. They can stain us. If we leave it there, if we leave a stain or something, I have a motto, one shirt per meal. And if you leave that dirt on that shirt long enough, it becomes a stain and it's difficult to remove. And these things need to be agitated out of our lives as soon as possible. And like I said, they can stain us, these things. The Holy Spirit's nature, you know, being holy, doesn't allow him to live in a dirty environment. So he begins to gently and lovingly agitate, to shake. There are times in our lives when we have difficulties and we're being agitated. But through those things, we learn through the problems we have. He begins to convict us of the things we need to leave our heart. You see, God wants us to be filled with his Spirit. And only when we come to a place in our lives where we are willing to remove all the dirt, can we truly be filled with his Spirit. Until then, many times our spiritual life feels like we are in a washing machine. The Holy Spirit constantly, because he loves us so much, constantly agitates within us, convicting us of all the things that need to be removed from our lives. The truth is that it is God's will for all to be filled with the Spirit. But it's your choice. It's up to you. Every area, our present, our future, get rid of the habits of our past, give up control, give up our finances, our family, everything that means something to you, total surrender. Are you willing, am I willing to surrender every part of our lives? Die to self and live for him. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the things that you have for us. And I'm so grateful for some of the writings of others that I could use, Lord, in my weaknesses. And we stand upon one another's shoulders as we strive to grow in you, Lord. And may we support one another. May we uplift one another. And as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, and we talked about the use of the word edify, do we edify one another? Do we support? Do we lift up one another? And Lord, I just pray that that is our focus. And as we die to self and strive to serve you, may we take these things to heart. And I just pray this in your name. Amen. Closing hymn, page 407, Jesus Paid It All, page 407. Stand and together.